If you'll turn your Bibles over to Luke chapter 2, we'll read verses 8 through 14 for our scripture reading. And if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, I'd like you to read the even verses with me out loud. I'll read the odd verses and you can join me on the even verses as we read in verses 8 through 14. So we'll start together on verse 8 and I'll read the odd verses. And you'll read with me the even verses, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Well, today we read part of the Christmas story in our scripture reading. And I want you to look back at one of the verses, hear what the angel speaks to the shepherds. And in verse 10, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And today's message that I want to bring is simply titled, Tidings. Tidings. What are tidings? Well, it's news. It's information. It's a report of things that are happening. That's what tidings are. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today, we have tidings. We have news, we have information, we have a report from God about the things happening in our world today. We have tidings. And you know what? Sometimes tidings can be good tidings, like the angel said, yes? Sometimes tidings can be bad. God wants us to know what's going on, right? How many of you think that God is some maniacal being that is up in heaven just toying with people's minds, right? Hiding stuff from them and keeping stuff from them and laughing and mocking and, ah, look at that creature. Yeah, it's bad. No, that's not God. Not at all. Listen, He gave us this book for a purpose. Amen. He's preserved this book for a purpose. And it's His purpose. So if you don't think He's going to take care of it, you're sadly mistaken. Right. It's His. It belongs to Him. He's going to make sure we have what we need. Because also we belong to Him. We're His creation, by the way. So God has given us tidings. And may I say there are good tidings of great things. And the angel said, this shall be to all people. There is not one person in this world that God does not want to be saved. Not one. All the mass murderers, all the evil people, all of them. God wants them to have eternal life. There's not one. If you believe that there are any type of person that cannot receive eternal life, you're wrong. God gave it to everyone. Everyone. It is available. Now, will all accept it? No. But that is their choice, not God's. God has offered it to all. This tiding is a tiding of God's provision. Today we're going to look at the tidings of God. And the first one is the tidings of God's provision. Is the world lost in sin? Yes. Is this world cursed? Yes. When Adam chose to sin against God, this earth and human race were cursed, separated from God because of sin. But God provided for us a way to heaven. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to look at God's tidings of provision. Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, submitted themselves unto righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteous which is of the faith speaketh on the wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, the wonderful thing, I skipped a verse there, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, folks, God has provided himself a lamb. When Moses went up to the mount with his son, and they went up there on Mount Moriah, and his son said, Father, where is the sacrifice? Where's the lamb that we're going to offer? And Moses looked at his son and said, God himself will provide a lamb. Hey, folks, God has provided the lamb. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is that lamb. God has provided himself a lamb. He didn't expect us to provide it. We could not provide it. It wasn't ours to provide. It was his provision for us. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, the angel said. That this lamb, this Christ child, this Messiah was born and placed in a manger in Bethlehem, in a stable where lambs belong. That's where he was laid, was it not? Wasn't born in a house. I wasn't put in a regular bed or a crib, but in a manger. Where else would you expect to find a lamb? Behold the lamb. The tidings of God's provision. God has provided for us salvation. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is God's provision. The righteous judge has provided for us a way of escape. He's provided for us a way to heaven. And it's his way we talked about in Sunday school this morning, not ours. His plan, his provision. And these are the tidings, the news, the information, the report of what God has done for you. For you. It's tidings. It's news. It's information. Hey, what does everybody want to know? What's going on, right? What's the news? I hate the news. I do. I mean, I despise watching the news. You know why? It's depressing. It's depressing. Certainly not good tidings of great things. Okay. No, not at all. So you know what? I don't want to do that. I'd rather hear the good news. I'd rather hear what's good about the situation that we have. You know, I'd like to imagine if I were some kind of an officer, which of course I never was. I was a working sailor, not an officer. I was enlisted. And you know, the thing about it is, but if I were one, I would want my scouts and stuff to tell me what's going on and the reality of the situation, which is sometimes grim, yes? But listen, anybody heard of the silver lining of
dark clouds. Yeah, that's me. I'm an eternal optimist. I'm sorry. Okay, if you're a pessimist, you and I will clash a little bit, I suppose. But I always see the half glass full. All right? If you see it half empty, you're a pessimist. That's just who you are. And that's okay. God loves you too. And let me tell you, but in every bad report, there is something good to see. There is something good to see. You know what? The bad report is there's sin. For the wages of sin is death. Is that good tidings, anybody? No? No? No, it's not. Bad tidings. Love conjunctions, you English people. But, what? The gift. Oh, silver lining. I love the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. The tidings of God's provision. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You're going to use your Bibles. Flip around the pages. That's good. We want you to see what God's Word says. 1 John chapter 5, the tidings of provision. He that believeth, verse 10, on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. It's the confidence in the tidings of God's provision, that God has provided for us salvation. God has provided for us eternal life. God has provided for us everlasting life. And this life is in his Son. The angels were talking to the shepherds. They were proclaiming the glorious miracle of God, the child, Jesus Christ, placed in a manger. He's come. We bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The second tidings I'd like us to look at today, if you turn your Bibles over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Not only should we recount and understand the tidings of God's provision, but secondly, the tidings of God's people. The tidings of God's people. The news, the information of the people of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We know the Apostle Paul writing this book to the folks in Thessalonica. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us, here it is, good tidings, remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all, in all our affliction and distress, by your faith. For we now live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day preaching exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Hey, the good tidings of God's people. Paul was in Athens. They were doing a work there and they were going through much affliction. Sent Timothy to go and see how the folks in Thessalonica were doing. And he was a little concerned that something might have happened to that little church. He was concerned that maybe some wolves crept in and destroyed the flock of God. But what did he say? He said, hey, oh, but when he came and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. Oh, what a joy to that old preacher. Oh, what a comfort to that man of God who had worked and labored in the ministry for their sakes. What a joy of the tidings of God's people. Oh, Christian. Oh, believer in Jesus Christ. How are the tidings up in the ears of God of your faith? Of your life in Christ Jesus here on this earth? Are they good tidings? Are they good tidings of great joy to our Heavenly Father? Or are they a little less of a report than that? What a thought. The tidings of God's people. The children of Israel. What a roller coaster. y'all read your Old Testament lately? This is it. I'm going to give you a picture of the children of Israel. All over the place. It's like it would have been the Six Flags or something. I don't know. Sometimes they're upside down. Wow. The tidings of God's people. They should be what? Good tidings of great joy to our Heavenly Father. You know, it's a little skewed for me because I have to play principal, teacher, and father. It's a little difficult at times because I already know what they did wrong in school because I was the one that punished them at school. Can't hide anything from your parents that way. So one of the things that I've done is I've told my children, I am your teacher, I'm your principal, go tell your mother. Okay, because I'm going to separate this thing here and you know, deal with her, and then she can talk to me about it as the father, and then we can discuss it with the principal. So I have split personalities, what can I say? No, you know, but it's a challenge. But I want to hear good tidings of my children. Don't you? I remember when I was a kid, my mom and dad would tell me, son, you're a Combs. Combs don't do that. We don't act that way. We don't do those things. Oh, doesn't the Bible say something about a good name? Oh, it does. Proverbs 22:21, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Hey, you're one of those Christians. You're one of those Bible-believing Christians. Why don't you act like it? Why don't the tidings come back of who and what you are? True to your name. True to your name. The tidings of God's people should be good. Hey, think about a pastor. I'm a pastor. Wow. There should be some tidings of my life. Shouldn't there? Some news, some information. In 1 Timothy 3, it says, it is true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Uh-oh. Here's the tidings. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Hallelujah. Vigilant. Sober. Yes, amen. Of good behavior. Uh-oh. Given to hospitality. I'm okay there. Apt to teach. I hope so. Not given to wine. Never. Nor striker. No. Not greedy of filthy lucre, no, but patient, not a brawler. Well, we'll see. And not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house. Having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not novice. I did have study. Okay. It's okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, lest he be lifted up in pride, fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report. Uh-oh, there's the good tidings. A report, information of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Hey, let me tell you something. If it's important for me to have a good report, why not you? Why not? I believe it's important for me to have a good report. I believe it is. I don't think you would have asked me to be your pastor if I wasn't. And these men did diligence to call and check on me. Now, I'm not so sure about the people that gave responses. No, I am. Because I'm not perfect. I'll say that again. I have made some mistakes in my life. But haven't we all? But listen, we ought to be of good report. And I guess the report was good enough because you all voted yes. Thank you. Thank you. But you know what? It's not ours to decide. These tidings, these good tidings should be coming into the ears of our God, of you. But listen, around your work, are you of good report? Around your neighborhood, are you of good report? In your community, of good report? Amongst your family, are you of good report? With your wife, with your husband, with your children, with aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and all of those cousins and things that we have, are you of good report? The tidings of God's people. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Oh, our report ought to be a sweet smell in the nostrils of our God. He goes on to say, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." The tidings of God's people. Are they good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people? The tidings of God's provision, the tidings of God's people. And let me finish this morning with this. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. The tidings of God's promises. The tidings of God's promises. You know, God promised a Savior. God promised a Messiah. And that night on the hills of Bethlehem, the angels came down to declare that God had done it. That God had kept His promise to mankind. That the Savior was born in Bethlehem that night, placed in a manger for them. Acts chapter 13, verse 32. Acts 13, verse 32. "And we declare unto you," glad tidings. You didn't know that was found so many places in the Bible, did you? I didn't either. I had to find it. Oh, yes. Listen, here it is, though. We have glad tidings. how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. What did he speak of? The promise. The glad tidings of the promise that God gave and fulfilled. Oh, I told you this morning in Sunday school class, listen to what Paul says to Titus. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He cannot lie. The tidings of God's promises are sure. You can take it to the bank. It's better than the almighty dollar, which isn't much. but it's better. Because he cannot lie. He cannot fail. Cannot. Ain't happening. God keeps his promise. He always keeps his promises. Hey, folks, that's good tidings of great joy. Because this book is filled with promises. Now, I do have one failure this morning. I actually brought a book with me. I left it in the truck. It's out there, I promise. There's a little booklet called the Promise Book. Little Book of Promises. It's a paperback. It costs a dollar. They're great. I might get some for y'all. It's just full of the promises of God. Just clipped out, taking excerpts, whatever you call it, from God's Word. God's promises. Hey, you can take it to the bank. It's better than money. The promises of God Almighty. These are tidings of his promises. He gave them to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, Whereby are given unto us exceeding. Exceeding. Which means you can't handle it. It's too much. Exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, folks, listen. How many of you experienced the promises and the fulfillment of promises of God? Doesn't the Bible say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so? Hey, just salvation alone is enough to go home shouting about. But yet we stay so quiet. We stay so quiet about what God has done for us in our lives, when we should be shouting it from the housetops. Hey, go back to Luke chapter 2. Go back to Luke chapter 2. The shepherds, they came down from the hills and they went to that manger. Did they not? Oh, they did. And they came down and they saw what happened, and they saw Jesus born there in Bethlehem, and they came down there in Luke chapter 2, and they went and they saw these things. And look what it says in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told in them, told unto them. Oh, they proclaimed it. They told people about it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. Who are you telling? Who are you sharing God's promises with? Who at your work or your neighborhood knows that you're a Christian? Knows that you've been born again? Have they heard the good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people? You know, these angels didn't just come down to share this news with the shepherds. They wanted all people to know these good tidings of great joy. Have you told someone of the tidings of God's provision? Have you told someone the tidings of God's people and listen to him say, hey, you need to come to Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's the friendliest church in the state of Texas. I'm going to start telling people that. Because you all are friendly. You gave me donuts today. Hallelujah. I had a homemade sausage roll, or a sausage ball thingy. That was fantastic. Oh, yes. You even amened a little bit of my preaching this morning. This is great. I'm going to tell everybody. No, I mean it. I'm not just teasing you. Uh-huh. Tidings. You know what tidings need to have done? To be told. How can you gather information and not say anything about it? How can you receive word of something and not pass it along? It's not a secret. Don't tell anybody. No. We have this little light. We're supposed to let it shine. The whole world can see our Savior. The angels, and they came down. They didn't just say, oh, hey, Mr. Shepherd. Hey, come here. Come here. No, I mean, the light lit, the sky lit up, and there was noise and singing, and the angels were coming. Ah! They were afraid. This is a big production here. I'm sure people from the city saw the lights. What's going on the hills? Oh, yes. Hey, that star was so bright. The wise men saw it. It took them 2 years to get there. So all of you in manger scene people, no wise men. Okay? It took them 2 years to get to see the young child in the house. Not the babe in the manger. Okay, that's another subject. Now listen. These are exceeding great and precious promises. They're tidings. Folks, we have tidings. We have good tidings of great joy, which shall be all, to all people. Publish it. Tell it. The tidings of God's provision. The tidings of God's people. The tidings of God's promises.